So we are looking at Matthew chapter 16, verse 19, King James Version here. I titled my message, You Are in Control. The text, again, Matthew 16, 19. You are in control. Jesus said, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of God or kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And what I want to prophesy or say to you tonight is that you are in control of your life more than you think you are. I think sometimes we like to relegate what happens to our life to somebody else. We like to blame somebody else for what goes on in our lives, especially if you're addicted to something. You know, people who like to eat lots, they always blame, you know, oh, my wife cooks too good, you know. And it's a nice way to blame somebody else that they're not in control. And, well, I'm smoking so much this time, it's the stress that's driving me to do this. And so we like to blame people. You know, in the garden, the scripture of Genesis talks about that Adam, you know, and Adam and Eve, and God spoke to them about what happened, you know. And so I talked to Eve, and Eve said, or at least Adam said, Eve, you know, well, blaming Eve. So we like to blame somebody else, right? It's that devil. The next thing they blame the devil. It's the devil that made me do it. So we blame everybody down the road. So we are in control of our lives, and this is especially true when bad things happen in our lives. We like to relegate that to somebody else. We don't like to take the responsibility, and sometimes, especially when we make mistakes, we make bad choices, we make wrong choices. We didn't think about it enough. We didn't take the time to consider what your decision is and how it will affect other people. Because people generally are selfish. They like to decide things, and it's just you. Like, you have to understand that your decision affects a lot of people, and maybe for a long time, longer than you think. And so some people say or think that God controls everything, that God is in control. Like, you say, oh, God is in control. You ever hear anybody say that? Anybody? Well, let me tell you something. God is not in control of everything. If it was so, this church would be so full tonight. And we'd all be giving a lot of money. We'd all be praying. We'd all come to our church early and pray. And people be saved. Everybody would be healed. No one would have addiction problems. And so many things. We like to say that God is control. He's control. He's a sovereign God. And He'll do what He wants to do. Well, yes and no. You know, God is a sovereign God, and He decides different things. There's time we're in a season of grace right now. One day that season will not be there, but we'll go into another season. And so if you look at the timelines, and one day things is going to be different than what it is now. And so we like to think, and some people like to say, especially, that God is in control of everything, and He's not. And if you look at the Bible, look at the conditions of our lives, of the world. And God doesn't control everybody's decisions. He doesn't control what goes on. The pilot who gets on the plane, and he's not all, he's not all there. He's under some other influence. And he forgets things, and he doesn't do different things, and it causes the plane to crash, and everybody dies. Whose responsibility is that? Well, that pilot, he made mistakes, causing other people to die, and they were trusting him. They trust the company, they trust our airline, that they're taking care of everything. And so we all have a responsibility here. We all have a responsibility of what happens in our lives and the decisions we make. Let's look at what Jesus said a little further. We looked at verse 19, Matthew 6, 16:19. Let's go and look at what he said here, and starting from verse 13, and Matthew 16:13-19. When Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that the Son of Man am?" And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some says Elias or Elijah, and others said Jeremiah, one of the prophets. He said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, I lost my place here. Answered and said, "Thou art Christ, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto you, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I'll give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loose in heaven." We're seeing here that Jesus wanted to ask him a question. Who do you say I am? Of course, Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," and the Holy Spirit, you know, God, you know, revealed that to Simon Peter from heaven. And he said it wasn't flesh and blood that revealed that, but God. And that whole idea that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, that is the very foundation of our Christian faith. And this is the rock. This is the rock or the foundation on which we build our lives on. This is the rock and foundation that we build, you know, the church on. This is how we're solidly built upon it. You know, I know when I was in a denomination before, the interpretation was Jesus told him, "Philip, you're going to be the first pope, and you're going to be the ruler of the church, and you're going to have control over this." And that's not what this says. He asked him a question. Who do you say I am? He said, "Jesus, the Son of the living God." Peter, "For my Father told you that from heaven." And he said, "This is upon this foundation, I'll build my church." Jesus is the Son of God. And then Jesus begins to say, "I say unto you that thou art Peter, upon this rock which he just mentioned, the gates of hell," all hell, everything that hell has against the church, it will not prevail against the church. The plans of the devil will not prevail against the church. He said, I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven." So he's saying, "I'm going to give you keys." So keys represent something in our lives. And keys means power and control. Keys that we need now. We need to have control of our own lives. You know, the devil can't control you. He said, "I'll give you," what does it say here? And "I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever you shall bind on earth." In other words, whatever you forbid, or can we get that in the Amplified? The last, the last 19? Let's look at it in the Amplified. He said, "I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever your pastor binds," huh? Doesn't say that. "Whatever your friends or the prayer group binds," no. So whatever, who's you? Well, every one of us, whatever you bind on earth or declare to be improper and unlawful on earth, okay? What does it say? must be what is already bound in heaven. And whatever you loose, declare unlawful on earth, must be already what whatever is already loose in heaven. So we have something to do. Like, he's not talking about heaven where he is at. He's talking about the heavens above us. There's a kingdom of darkness arrayed against the church. And they're living in the next heaven. There's another heaven above us where demons and the devils dominate, or they want to come down from there and come in to influence men to do evil. They like to control our lives. But Jesus defeated those devils, but they still try to manipulate people. And they try to tell people that the devil doesn't exist, or say that there's no heaven, hell, and so on. But okay, so what we're trying to say is that we have keys. You have a key. We have keys to control our own lives, to have power in our own lives. So keys denote, imply, or at least not just imply, but tell us that we have access to heaven's blessings. We have control over our lives and situations in our lives that the devil sends against us. We have power against the enemy. So people say God is in control, or God is in control of everything. They say, well, God is in control. You might want to think about that, because you say that because you want to relegate things to make yourself feel good, because you neglected to take care of your spirituality or your life. People say, well, God is in control. Well, wait a minute. He is not in control when you really look at it. It's your decisions that you've made that is causing certain trouble in your life. Your thinking, for instance. People say, well, I can't help thinking that way. I can't help talking that way. Or I can't stop doing this habit or whatever. But you know what? People are negligent or sometimes ignorant of those things. So when we say God is in control, we're implying that we have no power to whatever is going on in our lives. Many blame God for what's going on all over the world. They say it's not in their power when something happens, because they keep saying that God is in control. So we are in control of our lives, not God. What we allow, as we saw, what we allow in our lives and what we permit is what's going to happen. Whatever you permit in your life is what's going to happen. And sometimes not making a choice to be defensive against different things, to protect yourself, is still a decision you make. You relegate that to tell somebody else, hey, you pray for me. You do this. You do something for me. So we need to understand that whatever we allow or permit, it's going to happen in our life. So some people like to believe a lie. So let's go over here and see in Romans chapter 6, verse 10 to 18. Romans chapter 6, verse 10 to 18. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon yourself also to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. The next verse says, let not sin therefore reign. The word reign connotes, the word reign in that verse of scripture there, reflects kingship or having authority. Let not sin reign or have control over your body, control over your mortal body, that you should obey in its lust thereof. In other words, we don't have to let appetites, we like to blame appetites. Eh? Oh man, I had a big appetite, I ate too much last night, Blame. We say appetite's good, it's good to have appetites. We kind of overdo it, right? So he said we should not let sin reign, have kingship and control over our lives. So we have control over the sin activity that's going on in our lives. Hello? We have more power than we think we have, because we like to blame somebody else. We like to blame something. You know? I drink because I'm sad. Or I'm mad. So we make statements like that. He says, that you should obey in the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those who are alive from the dead, and your members of instruments of righteousness unto God. It's talking about your body. Notice this. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. So, this talks about a lot of stuff that doesn't say, like, I guess you could feel like you're out of control. You could feel like, I don't have control anymore of my life. But you do have control, no matter how you feel. You could feel so weak that you can't stop drinking alcohol. You can just feel so small and weak that you feel, but in the end, that's talking about when you get to that level, you're just so engrossed in your bodily functions, your bodily appetite. That's taking authority over your life. You allowed it. Yes, you might need help. You might need help from a treatment center or somebody to counsel you to get to the place where you get strong again, and then you can make some decisions. We all need help. Yeah. So it's when we have to say, when we tell somebody, if you see somebody, you got to give them some help too, right? So let's look at the more scriptures. Let's stop there and know that these things happen. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9:27. Paul is talking to the church here at Corinth. He says, "But I keep my body and bring it into subjection." Lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. I was thinking about Gilligan's Island when I think about this castaway business. But for sure. I love Gilligan. So he said, I keep my body under. He said, what it says here. 1 Corinthians, the Amplified says there, I'm like a boxer, I buffet my body. I like to buffet my body. I buffet my body. Notice this. Handle it roughly. Discipline it by hardships. Subdue it. So you have to be able to train your body. Not in a light fashion. You have to take your body and make it do stuff. Tell it no. I remember when I quit smoking cigarettes. I smoked for a long time. Smoked at least a pack and a half a day. And the last thing I'd do at night was, shut my cigarette off. And first thing I do in the morning is light a cigarette. First thing, light my cigarette and smoke it. If I go have a coffee, I'm having a smoke. Whatever I do, I always have a smoke, do something. So it controlled my life. I couldn't go somewhere where you couldn't be smoking, so I couldn't go there. I didn't want to go there if it's too long. It was controlling my life so much, and it was affecting my body. And so I didn't want to, I was listening to my body because I felt like I obeyed my body a lot because my body has lust, and so does yours. It wants to do what it wants to do. Let me tell you something. If you're born again, your body is the same as somebody who's not saved. If you don't take care of your body will run your life. Your body's appetites will run your life to the ground. Even if you're spirit-filled, born again, you have all kinds of Bibles, you go to church every week, and if you don't take authority over your body, it'll control you. We should start celebrating, eh? Well, we're going to go for chicken tonight. And I'm going to buy everybody chicken. I think you're going to take the tab, did you say, though? So. Well, not everybody likes wings. So a boxer, an athletic person, they take their body and they train it. They don't sit around and eat butter and, you know, bannock and sit in the bed, eat cookies, until the day they have to box. Right? No, but they're training it all along the time, all along that, because they're going to be having this match. You can't say, oh, I'm sorry, I just, you know, tell the other guys, listen, I'm not ready. There's money at stake here, right? So you have to, like, your body is the same as anybody who's not born again. Every spirit-filled believer is the same. Your body is the same. Your body is not saved. And your body will want to do the same thing it used to do before you got born again. And same with your mind. Your mind will think whatever it wants to think. Your mind can think ugly, hateful, and spend all its time thinking about how you're going to get even with somebody, how you're resentful. You just start thinking about all your resentments, and all of a sudden you're getting mad. And all of a sudden in your head you're killing somebody, hitting them with something. And your spirit fills Christians speaking in tongues, and Sunday morning you're like this. No, you're like this. So your mind is your mind. You can control your mind. You also can control your emotions. People say, "Well, I can't control myself. I can't control how sad I am." They're just so used to feeling sad. They trained themselves since they were just small. And it's hard to get out of it. They think that's the reality. But you can get out of it. You can get out of depression. No one was born with the depression virus. You know, a gene, depression gene. And doctor says, you know, listen, you got too many depression genes in your system. Well, if that's were true, God can heal you. There's healing if that's the truth. So it doesn't matter. So you got to be that, like Paul said, I treat my body roughly. So you have to treat yourself roughly. You have to begin to discipline yourself and say, I'm going to take control over this. I don't think this is going over very well. I don't feel any pull here, you know. But over here, there's something about whenever I said chicken, it's something over here goes this way. He said, I'm like a boxer. I buffet my body. This is the Amplified Classical. Handle it roughly, discipline it by hardships, and subdue it for fear that after proclaiming to others the gospel and things pertaining to it, I myself should become unfit, not stand the test, be unapproved, and be rejected as a counterfeit. So we want to be the real deal, that we have control. If you have control, you want to tell people you can control yourself. You can control your body. You can control your body's appetites. You can control the way you think. You can control the way you feel. So that's what we're talking about. You're in control. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3 to 5. For this is the will of God. Turn to your neighbor and say, this is the will of God. Okay, so watch this. Even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. What does fornication mean? Sex outside of marriage. Or sex when you're not married. If you're married and you have sex outside the marriage, that's called adultery. Right? Are you out there, everybody? Okay, so this is serious stuff, right? So, but if you're a single person, well, you're single now, you were married before, And if you went and had sex with somebody else, that's not your husband. That's called fornication. So that's what the Bible's talking about here. And so people are committing fornication inside the church. Now we're getting real heavy here. Now you talk about food, that was heavy. Now we're talking about sexual issues here. Now, you know, all of a sudden, you know, the anointing starts to get really strong. That you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to handle or possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. In other words, you can't let your sexual appetite overtake you. That you go outside and do whatever your body wants to do. Right? So, we're going to talk about this again at some other point. The next verse says, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. In other words, he's talking to the church. He's saying, you know, yeah, somebody who's doesn't have the Bible, is not born again, never heard about the things. Like, you know, some people are like that. But you know what? I know people who are not Christians, they don't do that. They don't. There are some people that are just brought up with morals, standards, and they don't do stuff like that. So that's why it's hard for you sometimes when you go to someone and they said, you need to get born again because, you know, you've been bad. You drink alcohol, you smoke tobacco, you chew snuff, and you stay late up at night and watch movies on Netflix. I'll say, oh, everybody does that, you know. Christians, you know what? Okay, so I went to this pastor's meeting. There's no kidding. Are you listening to me? Okay, so guys, I hear people talking everywhere here. So these guys, I was at this conference, and they had us, before service, I see pastors smoking cigarettes. Outside the meeting. Or not, if it's pastors. This was a pastor's meeting. there's always a joke about the Baptists who smoked cigarettes, you know, back in the day. But, you know, when I got born again as a Pentecostal, because I was raised in a Catholic church, got saved and from a Baptist ministry, and I started attending a Pentecostal church. And, maybe I shouldn't say any more about this, but... but we didn't, even in the Pentecostal church, we didn't go to movies because that's what they were taught. We were taught you can't go to movies. So I mean it was kind of extreme as well. So you can't be too extreme. So your body's not born again. Your mind is not born again. Your mind is not saved yet. You have to control that. You have to control that. You can't say, God, please take the cigarettes from me. He doesn't want no cigarettes. He don't smoke. Right? God don't smoke. Please take this bucket of chicken away from me. If it's God's will, you have somebody bust through the window right now and take this bucket away. He's not going to do it. Right? So you have to do something. You're going to have to do something about it. So if you let your body or your mind or your emotions run your life, you're going to be in trouble. And you're going to get in serious difficulties. And your body is running your life. Some people, their body is running their lives and ruining their lives. That's why God wants to let you know that you can control your life, control your appetites. Because so that one day I said, I'm quitting smoking. I don't care. I'm setting this date. From that date, I'm quitting. And I don't care if my body says something. I'm just not going to do it again. How many people know that your will is the strongest thing ever? When you made up your mind about something, nothing's going to stop you. Yeah? And you say, I'm not doing that anymore. Or whatever you want to do. I'm going to save money and buy a car. And you could do lots of things with your money. But you could do it if you want to. So you have to deal with yourself roughly. You got to treat yourself roughly, but treat other people nice while you're doing that, right? Like if you're all upset because you can't smoke and you're just mean, right? You're trying, you know, just because you're on a diet doesn't mean everybody just doesn't have to be on a diet, right? You let people know, oh, I'm on a diet. Poor me. And people say stuff like this, I don't know how I gain weight. Right? I mean, that's stupid to say that, right? I said, you know what? I just have fat bones. We hear stuff like that, right? You got fat bones, okay. All right, you got big bones. Big bones. You're a big bonehead. Yes? Look at it. In 2 Corinthians, the Bible talks about in there that we can control our mind, 2 Corinthians 4 and 5, that we can pull down strongholds. We can think. In Philippians 4, it says in there, if you go to the next verse, why don't you go to putting down strongholds? Casting down imaginations and every high thing that gives itself against the knowledge of God, bringing to captivity every thought to obedience of Christ. That tells me that you have control over your mind. You have control over what you think. When God says to renew your mind in Romans chapter 10, he's telling you you have control. You can control the way you think. Let's go over to Romans chapter 12. And let's go to verse 2, I believe it is, over there. So you can cast on these imaginations, but it says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So we can renew our mind with new thoughts, the way God thinks. So if you have scary thoughts, you know, the other morning I woke up, I had a scary dream. And I woke up, my heart was pounding. I said, what is going on? Then I remember right away, I was being pursued. It's this dream. And literally, you know, when you're thinking about this, your body's reacting to it. If you notice this, the way you think, if you think negative, your body is doing something. If you think angry, your body will react like it's really angry. If you're afraid of something, if you're afraid of a friend of the family has a severe fear of whales, killer whales. And if it came onto the screen or something, if we mentioned killer whales, like this, right? Well, that's not rational. There's not going to be no killer whales here, right? But it's you know, I'm going to tell you something, because she thought that, and all of a sudden her body starts to react. So if you're connected in all these ways, so that's why you have to control your thinking about everything. You can control your thinking. So the devil wants you to think about it. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, and verse 26. He says, not only do you control your mind or your body, but you can control your emotions. He says, be angry and sin not. You know, there's nothing wrong with anger, the feeling of anger, but you can't let anger control you. Anger itself is not a sin. And you're not bad because you're angry at somebody. It's what you do with the anger. Now, if you kill somebody because you're mad at them, that's going to be a real bad sin. You're adding on to something. And if you say negative things, say hurtful things to somebody because you're mad at them, then that's a real negative. So you have control over how you feel. You have control of how you think. It's not that the devil, he's attacking my mind. No, you can control your mind. The devil keeps bringing this thought to me. Well, bring him some thoughts of what the scripture says. Remind yourself what the scripture says. So you have control over your body. As we saw in 1 Corinthians 9:27, you control your body. your body's appetites. So in the end, let's talk about this over in James chapter 3, verse 1 to 3. He says, my brethren, not many masters, knowing that we shall receive a greater condemnation or greater judgment, teachers who are teachers, people who are in leadership, you know, are dealt with more severity if they themselves are not following the teachings. For in many things we offend all. Notice this, if any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man. The word perfect means mature. And is able also to bridle or control the whole body. You know what? The way we talk affects our entire body. If you say to yourself, I just can't control those potato chips there. I just look at them and I just want to eat the whole bag. Right? I think about a hot dog at night. I just go and make one in the middle of the night, 1:30 in the morning. I just go make a hot dog. And I'm going to tell you what I put in it. And the more you talk about it, the more lustier you get about it. Right? It's sneaking down to the basement or to eat your thing there. So nobody can see you. So your body, you know, James talks about after, behold, we put bits in the horses' mouth that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. He talks about in there that, let's go to Amplified, verse 3, verse 2. Amplified. For we often stumble and fall and offend in many things, and if anyone does not offend in speech, never says the wrong thing, he's fully developed character and a perfect man, is able to control his whole body and to curb his entire nature. In other words, you can control, if you can control your mouth by God's word and begin to say what God's word says about you, you can control how you feel, what you think, and what happens in your body. Some people say things like, you know, my liver is killing me. You know, it drives me crazy. You know, you say things like this, you know, these kids are killing me. They're going to destroy me. And we say things like this, right? Like, you know, we need to, and your whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Now, you think about this. If you can control your mouth, you know, mature people can do that. They can control the way they think. You can't just say whatever you want to say. You have to say what the scripture says. If you got nothing to say, don't say it. If there's nothing positive, just don't say it. Because you don't want to end up. Let's close with this verse of scripture. Listen. The scripture says that we're Revelation 19:16. He said that Jesus is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You know what kings do, eh? They rule. They rule. They rule in their kingdom. So each one of you has your kingdom. Look at this. Over in Romans 5 and 17 says that we rule, the Amplified says, we rule as kings in this life. We rule as kings in this life. So so the question is this, a king rules by his declarations and what he says. Kings, they say something, this is how we're going to do things. You know, you're a king in your own life, a king controlling your own life. Isn't that right? See, she agrees with me. Well, the Bible says it. Did we see that? Amplified? For because of one man's trespass, lapse, offense, death reigned. We see the word reign again associated with kingship. Through that one, much more they who receive God's unflowing grace, unmerited favor, and the free gift of righteousness putting them into right standing with himself, reign as kings in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. So we reign as kings. We reign by our speech. Tell your body. You say, listen, I got control over this appetite here. As you're chomping on that chip. I got control. I remember this guy says, you know, man, this my eyes are bothering me. My eyes are bothering me. My eyes keep bothering me. It's getting worse all the time. Well, how long have you been having that? Well, for a long time. Well, keep saying it, you keep getting it. Let's change our tune. How about controlling ourselves? Who's got control in your life? Well, you do. Let's go ahead and stand up. Father, we want to thank you tonight for the word of God. We thank you for your precious word. Everyone say, I am in control. Say, I can control what I say. I can control what I think. I can control what I feel. Say, I have control over my body's appetites. I do not allow my appetites to control me. The devil doesn't have control over me. God doesn't control me. I have control over me. I choose to follow what God says. I have a good life. I'm a strong person. I'm a dedicated person. I'm an honest person. I'm truly blessed. I rule and reign in my life. Say, I'm a healthy person. Say, my mind is my mind. Say, I can control how I feel. Say, thank God I am in control. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. God bless you. Have a wonderful evening.